As we continue our worship this morning, greet one another.
See you. We are glad to have our children with us to help us with this next activity this morning. They are going to be leaving, going up to their regular children's church area, but I invited them to come and help us because they're such good helpers when it comes to this time and point. It is indeed the fourth Sunday of February, which is our Alabaster Sunday. And so we're going to be receiving Alabaster offering this morning. For those of you who are new to the church and maybe don't know what that is, it's the one offering that's taken within the missions program where there are no administrative costs taken out of that offering. 100% of every penny that you give goes to the mission field for the purchase of property, for the building of buildings. We just had a group of pastors that returned from Papua New Guinea. I don't know if you remember over the last year or so, but when Mary was our missionary president, they talked to us about potties for Papua New Guinea, and so they just came back. We heard about this at Pastor and Wives Retreat. They just came back from building those potties and showers the hospital did not have individual showers or anything, and so they were so thrilled and so excited, and the properties and various other things. A lot of that happens. You go to these various mission places, and the buildings, the churches that have been built, the properties that have been purchased have all been purchased by alabaster funds. And so we do this twice a year, September and February. And so we're going to receive our alabaster offering this morning. We'll take a regular offering a little later. So this is specifically mission giving. Some of you have alabaster boxes. I think we've got them all out of the windowsills here. I think there's a few out on the credenza behind the Welcome Center. But if you've got your alabaster boxes, people just put their change in that for the six-month period of time while we're waiting for this to arrive. And so, with that said, we're going to have Janet play us some happy music. Kids, we want you to come, and you go out here, and these folks have their alabaster money, and they'll hold it up, and you go collect their money and bring it back here, and we'll put it in the alabaster church, okay? So, Janet, play us some music.
You can have them in if you want. You can put
much to our children. Yeah, give them a hand. They're going to go on up to Children's Church. And thank you for your giving. I think the last alabaster offering, we were between $300 and $400, which puts us up between, you know, $600 and $800 for the year that we give to Alabaster. And when you combine that with several thousand other Nazarene churches, then that pays off for some really good work on the mission field. And so thank you so much for the giving of your alabaster offering this morning.
Good morning. It is so great to see all of you this morning. I know that we've had a lot of people out and about traveling, so it is great to see a lot of you back this morning. We've got some visitors. We want to say welcome to you. I don't touch on this every Sunday, but inside your bulletin, you'll find one of these guest registration slips. If you happen to be new or a visitor this morning, if you wouldn't mind filling that out and slipping in that that card into the offering plate this morning, that would be greatly appreciated. That way we can get a little bit of information on you and be able to keep in contact with you this morning. But now if you would turn with your bulletins, we've got a lot going on in these upcoming weeks and few short months. So if you'll bear with me, I've actually got quite a bit that I'm going to touch on this morning. As I mentioned, we do have some visitors here this morning. And directly following church this morning, we have our monthly dogs and celebration luncheon. So if you are a visitor this morning, we are inviting you to stay and have lunch with us this morning. Then this evening, we have a lot of different things that are due in by tonight. Church board reports, year-end reports, and then your monthly, well, church board reports are in there twice, but a lot of you might have received here in the past couple weeks a nominating letter for an actual elected position here within the church. Those are due in by this evening. Please, please, please try to get those in by tonight, because starting next week, our annual meeting starts and we will be voting on those elected positions. So please try to get those in by this evening. This Thursday night, the Ronald McDonald House dinner will be at 5:30. If you would like any more information about helping out with that, see any one of the ladies that are part of the Ladies Fellowship. Then this Saturday evening, we will be having a dinner here at the church at 6 o'clock, where we will be meeting our Faith Promise missionaries. Cliff, and if I pronounce this right, it's Heike Wright. So Cliff and Heike Wright, that is this Saturday at 6. And then on that following, this coming Sunday morning, this is our Faith Promise. We will be collecting our Faith Promises pledges at the end of service next Sunday. We do have communion next Sunday evening also. It is our first Sunday of the month, and so we'll be having communion that evening. Coming up in March, we've got a lot of outreaches that are first-time outreaches that the church is going to be doing. The first one will be on the 11th. That is our NICSPO event. It's actually the 12th, but we need some help setting up that Friday evening, the 11th. We've got some sign-up sheets out on the Welcome Center. We need people to man that booth during NICSPO on Saturday. There are time slots. You can sign up for one. You can sign up for all of them. We just need people to sign up and help be a part of that that outreach. Then that following Sunday, the 13th through actually the 16th, we have an outreach called Tragedy to Triumph. It'll be a simulcast where on the screens behind me, we are actually going to be broadcasting different speakers, the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. And each night is a different topic, a different speaker. And these speakers are highly qualified, notable people that will be speaking with us.
John and Cody. Joe, if you guys will come help me right quick. I just, Sue helped me trying to catch up after being out of town last week. But I have some flyers here. These are mini flyers, and I'm going to distribute. I would love for all of you to have one just to remind yourself and take at least one, maybe to pass on to a friend. You can take more than that if you like as far as they go. But, gentlemen, if you'll distribute those, That's a poster. It's a mini poster of this. This tells you what the speakers are each day, the subject that reminds you what that is. This is a kind of event where people can come all four nights, or they can come to any one of the four nights. They all stand alone by their various subject matters. And so invite your friends and neighbors. We are one right now. We are one of five churches, Nazarene churches in the state of Missouri, that are doing this. So we have an opportunity here. We'll be sending this out to other churches, inviting their congregations as well. We want this event to be open to our entire community. And so this poster will be going into the paper in a couple of weeks. I just, for those of you who subscribe or maybe don't subscribe, an interesting thing happened when we started praying about this and the board voted to do it. Immediately that week, I got a notification from our local paper. Paul Johns, who's a personal friend of mine, who does some of the advertising and things, said, "Hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do this edition for 4 weeks, called Addicted." And so we have for 3 weeks, we have a little ad in the paper here that is our church ad. But on the fourth week, which is comes out the Wednesday before we start this on Sunday, then this color flyer will go quarter page in the newspaper. In this Addicted section. So people will already have kind of been reading this. And the first night, of course, of our simulcast, isn't that interesting? The subject is what? Addictions. So we have the opportunity to reach out. So I just want prayer cover for this. Begin to share that with your friends and neighbors. We're going to get it out on social media, several things that are happening this week. So thank you so much. Some of you have been asking if you volunteer for simulcast, what you've been volunteering for. And we have had so much stuff going on. We haven't really been able to develop the teams the way that we really need to do this right. But basically, there are some nursery workers we're going to need. One of the things we're going to need to try to do, we may do this through Wednesday night Bible studies or Sunday night services, I'm not sure. But we're going to try to get people ready for counseling, because the whole point of this will be from 6 to 6:30, there will be 30 minutes of worship with a band called Carrollton. I've listened to their music. They're very good. They'll do the praise and worship. 6:30, the speakers will start. So one of the things you want to tell your friends is, if you can't be here at 6, that's okay. The first 30 minutes of praise and worship, if you can get here at 6:30, you're still going to hear the speaker. And so that's significant for those people that are coming from jobs at 5 o'clock and those kind of things. We want them to come and to be a part of this and invite them. And so we'll be doing some training for, at the end of each night, they will present an invitation. The gospel will be presented. There will be an invitation. And if we should have people respond, then we want to have some people who are ready to pray with those folks and to help them as they begin that journey. So pray over this event. Share it with your friends and neighbors. Invite your church friends from other churches, because they don't have this. This is only going to happen here. And so invite them, and we'll get the word out to as many people and places as we can. So thank you so much for the time and attention that you're allowing us to give this, because we think this could be a significant event in the life of our church and in the lives of people in our community.
All right, very good. Then to continue on, we've got our pastries and prayer building for this next coming month. The month of March will be SB Elementary, so be in prayer for that building, its staff and its workers. And then don't forget, out in the foyer, we have our little totes for our Vacation Bible School donations. We're still needing plastic bottles, newspapers, toilet paper, and paper towel rolls. So if you happen to come across those before Vacation Bible starts, please feel free to drop those in the box at any time. Thank you.
All you have to do is be gone for a week, and you don't even know where you are when you come back. They were handing out name tags at the pastors and wives retreat, and they gave me the job, the real responsibility of collecting the name tags. And one of the guys said to me, "Well, I won't know who I am if you take my name tag." And I said, "Well, go look in the mirror." And he said, "What if I have dementia?" And I said, "It won't make any difference who you are then." We should be thrilled when we're able to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse of God. You and I could not trace all of the souls that have been won into the kingdom when we put our money into the offering in the church. What a blessing it is. And, you know, I stand up here Sunday after Sunday taking tithes and offerings, and it just struck me this morning what an opportunity God has given to us to be able to bring our tithes and offerings into His storehouse. Our faith promise, and we're going to look at that next weekend, as you know. But all of those things go to build the kingdom of God in areas I could never possibly reach, or you could never possibly reach, without bringing it into God's house and giving liberally of what God has blessed you with. We'd like to have our ushers come at this time, if they would, to receive our tithes and offerings. Father, we are truly blessed today to be able to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. What a privilege you've given us to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ around the world. Help us to never take it lightly. Help us to be aware that you, O Lord, are using this money to reach souls for you. And so this morning, as we receive these tithes and offerings, we ask, Lord, that you would bless them and that they would go where you have the intention of using them to win souls for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Sunshine.
To very quickly, I'm so glad. Sometimes I get so many things going on, I don't get all the things to click. And someone caught this for me, and I'm so glad, because I want you to be able to fix it, and I'll get it fixed before it gets in the newspaper. This event takes place live in Centerville, Ohio. They're an hour ahead of us. And so when you look at this poster, before you give it to somebody else, you probably need to find a black permanent marker. And over here where it says 7 p.m., just mark those four 7 p.m.s out. This is the correct time. We are an hour, we'll be at 6 o'clock when they're at 7 o'clock. So when they start their live program, we'll be starting the simulcast here. It will be indeed live, but it's 6 o'clock our time. So the 7 o'clock p.m. that's right by the pictures, just mark through that. I'll get this corrected on this poster before it goes to print, and we'll get you some new ones next week. But just so there's not confusion there, this is indeed the correct time. We start at 6 o'clock with praise and worship, and at 6:30 to 7:30 then is the hour for the speakers to do their part. All of the speakers are correct. The topics are correct. But just mark out that 7 p.m. because we start at 6 p.m. because of the time difference in the time zones. Okay, so that'll save confusion. Thank you so much, Daryl and Pam, for catching that for me. I appreciate that. I believe there's great potential here, and we want to get it right and help the folks as best we can. So appreciate you making that a matter of prayer and sharing that with your friends and family. We want to be remembering. Thank you so much for Pastor Don and Ruth, and for Jennifer and myself, for the time away at Pastor and Wives Retreat. It was indeed an inspirational time and time to be with friends that we don't get to see very often because we're all working at the same time. And so thank you so much for sending us and allowing us to be there. And we'll try to give you a little bit of the overflow of that, some of that meeting this morning as we share the message with you. We want to continue to remember these folks that are on our prayer list. Some of you have been asking, and it's so great. Let's give the Lord a hand clap because Sister Bert is sitting in the service this morning. That's a good thing. There is so much going on. We have several people that are out and about this morning. Pat and Carolyn are in another church this morning for a really good reason. Their grandson is getting baptized. All right, so we like it when young people are giving their heart to Jesus. What a great thing to celebrate, and so you pray for them. And their other grandson was the lead role in a Pinocchio yesterday. And so they just had a big old weekend. So we're thankful for that. We miss them when they're gone. We want to remember Alan Wood's family. We want to remember my sister Sue is staying with my mother. And probably will be back somewhere in the next 2 or 3 days back home. And so I've been building a bond with her bulldog. All right. You pray for your pastor. I'm doing better, continuing to heal. And so thank you for your prayers. And we're expecting good things. And I'm glad to be able to be here and to worship with you and to minister to you. We want to remember Evelyn Reynolds' brother. That's been quite an ordeal. Pray for Evelyn. And their family's just gone through a tough time with some of these issues in the last couple of years, as many of your families have. So many people. We've been hearing about so many people with cancer, dealing with cancer lately. And so our God is bigger than cancer and bigger than any other diseases and issues that we have. And we want to indeed remember them and continue to pray for the schools that we're taking items into for pastries and prayer. Continue to pray one for another. Pray for our services. Pray for these events. Man, I tell you what, we're on a roll now until I don't know when. Matter of fact, probably till Jesus comes. We got Faith Promise weekend coming up, and then we've got the Nixpo weekend and the simulcast, and then we get Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday, and then in May we start Baby Day and Mother's Day and Graduate Sunday, and April. We may get a little relief in April. I almost forgot about the month April. But anyway, lots of stuff going on. So just be praying over these events. Lots of opportunities to invite folks, help people about things. We got folks out sick, fighting these bugs and all that kind of stuff. So we miss those. If you look around and you don't see somebody, maybe this week you ought to get on the phone and just call them and say, "Hey, I missed you last week. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday." That would be a great thing. Don't call them just yet. That's pretty good timing. How'd you do that? That's great. I love it when you get sound effects. That's cool. Couldn't ask for anything better than that. All right. So, you know, write a note. It makes people feel good when people notice they're gone. So you just look around and say, "Well, I'm used to seeing so-and-so sit right there, not there. And so-and-so sits over there, not..." If you don't see those faces, just make it a point this week. Get on the phone and just say, "Hey, just wanted you to know I missed you. Love you. Looking forward to being with you next week." And just keep it all positive. And, you know, where they've been and what they're doing, that's none of our business. If they want to tell us, they'll tell us. If they don't be asking them. But just tell them you miss them and you love them. You want to see them again. And we're going to fill up all these pews. Full of people love Jesus. I want to know the Lord. Oh, well, we're going to sing together. These altars are open to you, whether it's praise, whether it's petition, whatever it might be. There's always a place for you to talk to God. And minute. So if you need a special place, you come. Otherwise, let's stand together. We're going to sing, and then we're going to pray.
In the presence of Jehovah, the Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish.
Lord, what a privilege and honor it is to be in your house. I'm so glad that there's a Lord's Day every week. Come to church and be with my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God. But Lord, really every day is your day. And I want to live my life that way. Lord, I don't want to just think about you on Sunday. I don't want to just live for you on Sunday. I don't only want to think about your word on Sunday. Lord, I want my relationship with you to be every day. And I thank you that you're always there for me. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for your forgiving touch. Thank you that you love us and you want to hear from us and you want to fellowship with us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for all the blessings. You know, Lord, I got so much stuff. I really thought I needed it at the time. Now it's stored, and I'd love for somebody to come along and buy it at a garage sale or something. Lord, help us to not be so consumed with stuff. Help us to be consumed with you. Help us to think about our neighbors. How can we be the light to the people around us? How can we help them to know and love Jesus like we say we do? Thank you for this church. Thank you for all the special activities. Lord, we had a great group of men at men's breakfast yesterday. We had a great group of folks at the Valentine banquet last night. We've got great folk here at church this morning. Lord, we just want to keep finding ways to tell people God loves them. That He can change their lives for the better. Lord, we got that whole list in the bulletin. Stuff going on with people. Pray that you'd touch them and heal their bodies and heal their minds and their spirits. Lord, let us be the influence that we need to be to our community. Help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, your word, you. Thank you for this past week of inspiration at Pastor and Wise Retreat. Thank you for a church that loves us enough that will invest in us to be refreshed and renewed. They care about us, and we thank you for it. Lord, we know there's a lot of stuff going on with a lot of folks. There's a lot of heavy things going on. People that are facing death's door. People that are fighting cancer. People that are going through chemo. And people that are trying to figure out what they're going to do. Lord, you know all the answers. I pray that you'd speak to them. May your spirit bear witness with their spirit that they're the children of God. And may you guide them and direct them into the right decisions for them and their families. Thank you for the folks who've been coming to Pastor's Welcome Class and who are interested in our church, and they're interested in looking at this as potentially the place where God would have them to serve Him and to love Him and to grow in Him. Thank you for those people. Thank you for the people that have come through many pastors' welcome classes and make up this congregation right now. Bless them all, Lord Jesus. I pray you pour out your spirit upon them, manifest yourself in their homes. We pray, Father, that you'd prosper them financially, that you'd bless them physically. But most of all, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit in their homes to where they would love you more than they love anything else. and that they would be blessed for the presence of Almighty God in all their activity and all of their life. Lord, we're nothing without you, but the Apostle Paul said we can do all things through you. And Lord, there's a lot of stuff to do. Simulcasts and Nixpos and Faith Promise Conventions and Easter Sundays and then a whole summer of outreach activities and children's ministry and youth ministry and missions and Sunday school. It's just stuff, all kinds of stuff to do. So Lord, don't let us be a spectator. Help us to realize what it is you want us to be involved in. Help us to get involved, get off our seats and get going. Lord, we just pray you'd help us to be Jesus to our community. Give people a chance to make it to eternity in heaven. Give them hope. Give them help. Give them you. Father, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. For you are worthy of all our praise. We yield to you this day and ask you to show us the way. Powerful and precious, beautiful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.
They splash to the ground in a magic melody. He smiles in sweet approval when the waves crash to the rocks in harmony. And creation joins in unity to sing to him majestic symphonies. But his favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed, when lost sinners now made clean lift their voices loud and strong. When those purchased by his blood lift to him a song of love, there's nothing more he'd rather hear, nor so pleasing to his ear, as his favorite song of all. He loves to hear the angels when they sing, "Holy, holy is the Lamb.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb."
Heaven's choirs in harmony lift up praises to the great I Am. But he lifts his hands for silence when the weakest saved by grace begins to sing. And a million angels listen when a newborn soul sings, "I have been redeemed." 'Cause his favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed, when lost sinners now made clean lift their voices loud and strong. When those purchased by his blood lift to him a song of love, there's nothing more he'd rather hear, nor so pleasing to his ear, as his favorite song of all. It's not just melodies and harmonies that catches his attention, not just clever lines and phrases causing him to stop and listen, but when anyone set free, washed and bought by Calvary, begins to sing. That's his favorite song of all, their voices loud and strong. When those purchased by His love lift to Him a song of love, there's nothing more He'd rather hear, nor so pleasing to His ear, as His favorite song of all. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. That's His favorite song of all.
Thank you, Rhonda. That's a great, I love that song. Favorite song of all. How many of you think God's worthy of praise? Anybody here like to get compliments? Is anybody here ever happy when somebody says to you, you look nice, or you smell nice, or your hair looks good, or whatever? Yes, sir. So if you like to get compliments, and you're made in the image of God, where do you think you got that? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. So if you want God around you, just praise Him. Brag on Him a little bit. Love Him. Thank Him. And you know what else it says? It says if we won't do it, yeah, the rocks and the hills will cry out. Well, I know there's a place down in Branson called Talking Rocks, but I'm not sure that's what it's about. But I don't want any rocks doing my praising. So you think God's worthy of some praise this morning? Why don't you just give Him a good hand clap and say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, He helps us. Anything we've got comes from Him. I forgot to mention, and I'm this way almost every week, I'm always forgetting something. Ted, you're having surgery tomorrow, right? And work on a foot or something? Okay, so remember Ted. He's going to have surgery tomorrow. Pray for Ted. And pray for those other folks that are on the list. Well, we had a great, great week. Saw our friends. I've been on this district my whole life. You know, a lot of people travel around, and I've had people tell me, oh, Gary, you ought to get another church and go somewhere else and broaden your horizon. Well, I'm about as broad as I want to be anyway, so I just never have. Got real excited about that. I always thought if God wanted me to broaden my horizon, He'd tell me to go somewhere else. And I kind of adopted this idea, if God doesn't say go, I'm not leaving unless you run me off. I've had offers to go other places. I had an offer to go to Louisiana. I had an offer to go to Alaska. I didn't consider that one too long. And as the older I get, I stay colder longer. So Alaska doesn't hold much appeal to me. I'd like to go there and visit maybe, but I don't think I want to stay. But I'm here because I believe God has asked me to be here. And I'm here because I love you. And I know people think I'm not very smart sometimes when it comes to healing up. But I don't like to miss. I like coming to church with you. And I'd rather be here than sitting at home by myself. And so thanks for praying for me, because I believe God's healing me. And I believe He's helping me heal faster than normal and allowing me to do some things and enjoy some things that maybe I wouldn't have got to do otherwise. And so thank you so very, very much. I want to talk to you this morning about the truth. How many of you think you ought to tell the truth? How many of you thought you were telling the truth and other people didn't believe you? Part of life. Every week, I do my best to tell you the truth. And while we were in Pastor and Wives Retreat this week, the fellow who spoke to us, he kept repeating three things. And I believe the three things that he kept repeating were the truth. And he had a different message out of this, but I decided to take those three things he kept saying and just asked the Lord, kind of laid it on my heart to share those three things with you and to build kind of a body for a sermon from that. But here's truth number one. Life is hard. It was a lot easier to walk before I had five holes in my gut and an 18-inch stripe down my knee. I'll walk, you know, but here's the other deal. As a result of going through that, I don't have pain in my right knee joint anymore. Yeah, amen, that's right. You know, some things are changing now. There's, you know, where they drilled holes in my bones and drove titanium rods in and everything else. I got an ache or two around there. But you know, right in that joint where I used to have pain, I don't have any pain there anymore. I got titanium. And some kind of super molecular plastic. I'm just glad it doesn't hurt. And what I found out is life is hard and there's lots of hurts in life. But the power of the Holy Spirit is like titanium. And the power of the Holy Spirit can help you overcome hurt. Here's the second truth. God is good. All the time. All the time. And here's the third truth. Heaven's a real place. I want to go there. I think it's better than what I can think it is. I want us to turn this morning as we start this thing to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4 reads like this. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. See, God's not keeping anything from anybody. God wants you to know the truth. God wants you to believe the truth. And God wants you to live the truth. Now, what we're really good at and what the devil's really good about helping us with is rationalization. Do you know you can make the Bible say anything you want it to? You pick the right verses the right way and interpret them the way you feel like. You can make the Bible say about anything. You can justify your actions. You can rationalize your behavior. And you can be feeling pretty good about stuff and be absolutely wrong. See, because it really doesn't matter what we think. It only matters what God said. And all Scripture should be interpreted not from our point of view or not from the world view or not from some contemporary standard. The only way we should interpret the Scripture is to find the mind of Christ. Say, God, what did you mean right there? What's the truth? And the truth of the matter is, life is hard. How many of you have ever had a challenge in your life? How many have ever had any difficulty? How many have ever been discouraged? Or how many have ever had anything go different than the way you wanted it to? So I'm on target here, right? Life's hard. I was pretty excited about getting my knees fixed. But going up steps that first couple of weeks was pretty hard. And I think there's times in life that are hard. I think there's times that don't go the way we want them to. I wanted my brother to get healed when he was 19 and got sick. He's 61 now. He's just as sick as he was when he was 19. I don't understand that. I remember one Thursday night, people all over the world, 7 o'clock on a Thursday night after my brother got sick, all over the world, people praying. Well, man, when people all over the world pray in every language, you know, it seemed like God ought to pay attention. So I'm sure he's going to get well. They didn't. And to be quite honest, I was pretty disappointed with God. Because I wanted my brother back the way I knew him. And my mama, who's much smarter than I am, not taller, but smarter, all 5 foot of her, said to me, "Gary, God's still God. And he knows more than we do. He's got a plan, so you keep trusting him." And so I listened to her. And that's why I'm sitting here today. My brother is in Springfield. I'm his legal guardian. And he still can't remember what he had for breakfast this morning. But he knows my name. And he remembers my birthday. But sometimes life's hard. And sometimes people at work don't reward us the way they ought to, and somebody else gets the job we wanted, and sometimes they don't believe us, and sometimes we can end up getting laid off or lose our job, and we have to go find another job. We don't know what in the world we're going to do, because maybe we grew up just kind of not being educated or trained to do anything in particular, and we were just glad to find a good paying job. When we lose that, then we don't really think we have any skills or whatever. Do you know what? God knows everything about us, and he knows everything out ahead of us. And the God who loves us knows what we need. And he can get us through however hard this life is. God is bigger and stronger than life is hard. How many of you are old enough to remember these words? "I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden." You remember that song? That guy said this last week. He said, "Life is hard." That's the first thing that came to my mind. I remember that song. And a lot of people think if they become a Christian, that that's going to make everything all right and go their way. Well, I don't know what book they were reading. I want to read some of this book to you. I like this book. I'm going to read some of it to you. I have some books. Every once in a while, my grandson will let me read to him. And we like to read books. I like this book. I want to read this book to you. I want to read to you in John 16:33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have a rose garden." It must be my glasses. "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." "In this world you'll have trouble." I like that "but" though. "But take heart, because I've overcome the world." So it doesn't mean trouble's not coming. It just means God gets you through it and over it and past it. But, you know, you can read other places in this book. Read over in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." What's perseverance? That means you can hang in there, doesn't it? One of my favorite posters, this came out, I think, probably in the 70s sometime. It was this big poster that came out and it said, "Hang in there, baby." And it had this cat hanging onto this stick for dear life. And that poor old cat was stretched out belly long, you know, just had to hold that stick. "Hang in there, baby." Did you know that when you feel like you're hanging like that, that there's a God in heaven's got his hand right underneath you? You can't see it sometimes, and you don't believe it sometimes, but he's there. And he's not going to let you fall to the point of being destroyed. The mighty right hand of God is with you when life is hard. But he told us it was going to be hard. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You see, when life is hard and we trust God, who gets the attention? God does. It's not about us anyway. And when God gets the attention, your hard life becomes a springboard, a launching pad, a motivation to somebody else to say, well, if God can help them, God can help me. Which brings us to the second point. God is good. Did anybody here ever teach their kids any prayer? What'd you teach them? What'd you teach your kids to pray over their meal? You believe it? You believe God's great and God is good? Me too. Because what my mama told me was true. And even though my brother never got healed, the hand of God kept coming into my life and things kept happening and God kept showing himself. And I know stuff that happens to me personally, stuff that happens to you personally, doesn't necessarily mean the same thing to all of us as it does to us when we're going through it. And some of it seems crazy, you know, but I tell you, a big deal in my life was when Jennifer was working for JCPenney and I was working for General Electric, and I was pastor in the church in Halltown, and we didn't have any children then, and so we were putting money back and trying to save money, and things were going pretty good, and the church grew well for a couple of years, and they called us to our first full-time church. Man, I just wanted to be a full-time pastor. That's all I want. I want to be a full-time pastor, God. He offered me an opportunity to be a full-time pastor in Split Log, Missouri. Man, I jumped on that because I thought that's what he wanted me to do, and I lost half of my income. And in the first few months we were there, I had two kids. That was Jennifer's fault. I lost half my income. I got twice as many kids. And Jennifer and I don't like backing up. I like going forward. I like doing more than I did last year. I like having more people than I had last year. I like getting more money than I did last year. I always want to be moving forward. I want to be getting better. And when we lost half our salary, we came up on our first Thanksgiving offering, and back in those days, this is not, it's still there, but they don't talk about it as much because Faith Promise has kind of taken over it. But Thanksgiving and Easter offering, they did, those were the two big mission offerings during a year. And Jennifer and I, when we were a young married couple and God was blessing us, we had gotten into a practice of giving $100 in those offerings. We'd give $100 to help out missions. Well, then we started Faith Promise when we were here, so we haven't really pushed those as much anymore. They still do them, the Thanksgiving and Easter offering. But when I was at Banner, we didn't do Faith Promise at Banner. When I was at Banner, the first Thanksgiving offering came up after they cut my salary in half, you know, what I was making from the church versus what I was making at GE and everywhere else, and Jennifer's paycheck, and she wasn't making a paycheck at Banner. And we got to that first Thanksgiving, and we were about a month out. And I said, Jennifer, I don't know what we're going to do. We don't have $100 to give. I don't know what I'm going to do. Can't not give. And we celebrated birthdays at my house when I was a kid growing up, but you usually got a birthday cake, a birthday card, and maybe a pair of underwear or a shirt or something you needed real good, you know. And that was the birthdays. And my birthday is the 10th of October. In the week of my birthday, I got a card from my mom and dad. You know what was in that birthday card from my mom and dad? $100. There was a check for $100. And to this day, well, can't tell him now, my dad's dead. I never told my dad. I got that check for $100 in that birthday card. I said, Jennifer, here it is. God's good. You see, the scripture says in Psalm chapter 73. Mike hit me with it. I'm just going to read it from there. I'm too slow today. Surely God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart. And so when we're trying to live for the Lord, you know, God's going to help us. God's going to be there for you. You may think He's not sometimes, but He is. He's going to help you along the way. And in Mark chapter 10 and verse 18, it says this. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. Now, Jesus knows God really well. And if Jesus says God is good, I believe Him. And I know my life experiences would be that God is good. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, this is what we know. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So He's not only good Himself, but He works for the good of His people. He wants to do good things for people. He gives good gifts to His people. God is good. And if we had time this morning, and I'm getting those signals on the screen that y'all don't see, to tell me what time it is. I don't have time this morning, but if I had to interview some people here, I could go over there to Troy and Julie, and I could go to Don and Ruth, and I go back there to Bonnie and Ray, and some of these folks that have been around for a day or two, Leo and Vonda and various other ones, Evelyn, there's a lot of you here. I could let you start talking. You could talk about how good God is and how good God's been to you over and over and over and tell story after story after story. We wouldn't have time to hear them all. But we know the stories and we know the people and we know that God is good. And so that little prayer, God is great and God is good, that's a truth. That's biblical truth. That's real stuff. Life is hard, God is good, and heaven is real. I'm going to ask Mike to play a video for me. When I was holding a revival meeting in Seymour, Missouri, back several years ago, back in the 80s, there was a little girl that was singing special music one night. I had no idea what she was going to sing. And she got up just big as she was confident and she was a good singer. And she got up and sang this song that I asked Mike to play. It's not her singing it, but it's what she sang. And you'll enjoy it. Happy music. You like happy music? All right. How many of you ever sang that song before? Yeah, so you see, some of you back there, you've been around for a time or two. All right. Well, you know, when I think about heaven, I think about that little girl singing that song. Now, I also have to tell you, I got a weird imagination, you know, and when I hear that song, just because I hear that music, it makes me think of an old Calliope. And I like, it makes me think we ought to have a group of about six or eight kids singing that song, and they ought to all be doing this, you know, while they're doing it. At any rate, it just makes me feel good. I believe heaven is a real place. The interesting thing to me is that there's a lot of people that believe heaven's a real place that don't think hell's a real place. And I haven't figured that one out yet. I haven't. At any rate, we're not here to talk about hell. We're going to talk about heaven. Heaven is a real place. How do I know that? I've never been there. I want to go there. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible talks about heaven and describes it. But there's something in me. I want to be right with God. There's something inside of me that I want to be right with God, and I want to go where God is. You have that feeling? Something inside. You just want to go and be where God is. God, come be where you are. You want to be with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 says this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. He set eternity in the hearts of men. There's a yearning inside of you to be with God. God left a place in you when He created you that He's the only one that can fill that place. And I want to live forever, and I want to be with God for the rest of eternity. I have that yearning. And that makes me believe that heaven's a real place, because heaven's where God is. And like those kids singing that song, I want to go there. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place. You know, God made some promises, and there were some things that were said. Jesus made some statements in the book of John, in John chapter 11, verse 25. He said this, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. I want to live forever. Who was the guy, Don Juan or whatever his name was. It was after the Fountain of Youth. Ponce de Leon, yeah. You know, people forever. People want to live forever. They're always looking to how to... You know, I remember when Oil of Olay came out. All the women wanted Oil of Olay because it would take away the wrinkles and make you look younger. How many people have made $1 million off of stuff that didn't do a thing for you, but they said it would and you bought it? Because we all want to be younger. We all want to live forever. We all, and that's, heaven is a place where we can live forever. And Jesus went on in John chapter 14. He made some promises. He said some things about heaven. In John chapter 14, verses 2 through 4, he said this. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Jesus said, that's where I'm going. I'm going to heaven to make a place for you. Well, if Jesus is going to build me a place, don't you think I ought to go there? I mean, if it's important to Him, it ought to be important to me. My dad was a builder. My dad built many a house that were nicer than the houses I lived in growing up. They didn't have more love in them. It wasn't a warmer place. It didn't feel more like home. They were nicer houses. Whatever Jesus can build, I figure it'll be pretty good. I won't go there. Because He said He's building me a place and He's coming back after me. I don't want to miss the bus. I want to be ready to go. Because I don't know when He's coming. But I believe He's coming. I missed the school bus a few times. That didn't bother me too bad. It did when I got home. My mom and dad found out about it. But I don't miss the bus to heaven. When my time comes to go, I want to go. I want to be ready. I don't want there to be any doubts. I want to be ready to roll because I believe heaven is real. Jesus died for us and made it possible for us to go there. And the Bible describes it just a little bit. You know, it talks a lot about it, but we're just going to read this a little bit this morning out of Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Boy, that's a great description. How many of you remember when your wife walked down the aisle? I can think about that. I almost have to quit preaching for a while now. But at any rate, she was pretty. She came down through there. I liked it. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them, be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. I like that. There will be no more death. I like that. Or mourning. I like that. Or crying. I like that. Or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. They don't do knee surgery in heaven. You're just going to be all titanium there. Gold plated. It doesn't get any better than what it is there. I don't know what it is, but it's better than anything I know. And I want to go there. And if you read on over in that same chapter, you get over to verse 27. It says, nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want my name in the book. Is your name in the book? I didn't set up the criteria, God did. And the way to get in the book is to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, to admit that we're sinners in need of a God who loves us, in need of a Savior, and know that God provided us with one, Jesus Christ, who gave His life on a cross, shed His blood for us, made the atonement. We can confess our sins, receive Jesus Christ by faith, and know that our passport is stamped. We're going to heaven. It's a real place. It's where God is, and that's why I want to go there. Oh, I know the streets of gold. That'll be cool. They're so pure that they're you see through them. They're transparent. That's what the Bible says. I know it's going to be a great place, but I don't want to go to heaven for all the stuff. I want to get in line, have a crown, and lay it at the feet of Jesus. I want to ask God stuff and know all the answers. And just know that time's never going to run out. I don't have to worry about time. Do you know when you're in heaven, you'll always be on time? That's a real miracle for some folks. That's the truth. Life is hard. But God is good. And heaven is real. And we don't want our friends going to any hell either. We don't even want strangers going there. And so we need to be right with God ourselves. And we need to share our faith and seize every opportunity to be involved in the work of the kingdom that will allow other people to come to know Him. Because life is hard, but God is good and heaven is real. Amen? And that's the truth. That's the truth. Promise. I'll stake my life on it. Are you ready? Bow your head with me. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, if there's one of us right here this morning in this sanctuary that's not ready to meet You, I pray right now that You'd make that evident to us. Lord, I just pray You'd help us to be honest with ourselves, and that You'd be honest with them, and You'd say, you know what? You're not quite there yet. You're not ready. And Lord, that we'd know that we could get ready before we leave this sanctuary this morning. Not one person has to walk out of this church without the assurance of eternity and a heaven that's real with a God that's good and leave behind a life that was hard. We can have that. And we can know it for sure. So, Lord, I just ask You, if there's anybody here this morning that's got any doubt of any kind, and they'd like to pray about that, we'd be glad to take time to pray with them. If they want to slip out and make their way to these altars of prayer, Lord, we'll take time to make sure that they know before they walk out of this building today that they're going to heaven. They're going to be with God forever. Lord, if there's somebody that just doesn't have what it takes to step up and step out, but they're not comfortable with where they're at, Lord, I just pray that You'd speak to them, help them to know that You can meet them right there where they are. But Lord, they need to testify to somebody. Lord, if they indeed ask You to help them this morning, if they ask You to come into their heart and make some changes this morning, they need to report that to somebody. They can tell me, they can tell somebody else. But Lord, they just need to be accountable so the old enemy doesn't beat up on them. We don't want to give the devil any advantage. So Lord, help us to testify to what God's doing in our life. Help us to tell somebody if we're making decisions for you. Lord, thank you for this great place and for these great people. Thank you that you're such a great God. We love you. We give you praise because you are worthy. Amen. Amen. We're gonna go from here. And for those of you who want to stay with us, we're having dogs dinner today. That's Dinner on the Ground Society. And the reason we have that dinner at the end of every month is to welcome anyone who's come into the church new. So if you're a first-timer today, or if you've been new in the last month or so and you didn't get to come to the last dinner, we want you to go right to the head of the line. You're our special guest today. We want you to go right to the head of the line in our dinner. And you know, I know how conscientious you ladies are, particularly you ladies who are, you know, real good Christians, and you want to do all the right things. And so you say, oh, honey, I can't stay today. I didn't bring anything. Hogwash. We're here for you. We got your back, and we got your food, and we'll share it. So you just stick around if you can and eat dinner with us, and we'll appreciate that, and we'll have fun, have a good time. The other thing that we do in this dinner is we honor folks who've had birthdays and anniversaries in the past month. And so I'm looking here, and Mr. and Mrs. Brett Caldwell have had an anniversary in the month of February, and they're up with the kids right now, but they're supposed to get to go to the head of the line as we worship, as we fellowship and observe their anniversary. And then we've got some folks that have had birthdays. I don't know if they want you to know it or not, but we're going to tell you anyway. Ted needs to eat good. He's got a birthday this month, and so he gets to go to the front of the line and eat good, because who knows what they'll feed him in the hospital. You know, you can't tell about that stuff. And let's see, we got Elizabeth Brownwood gets to go right to the head of the line because she's got a birthday. And John Brownwood has a birthday too. John, you were born on Valentine's Day? Oh, that's sweet, John. Betty Nance has got a birthday. And George Ann Raper has a birthday. And, you know, if she'll take you, Scott, you can go with her. Be to the head of the line. All right. So those folks that have birthdays and anniversaries, you congratulate them. I love you, and I love being here. I always do my best to tell you the truth. And we're just going to keep serving God, loving people, and trying to win as many as we can. How about that? And right now we're going to go eat and have a good time, and then we'll come back at 6 tonight and do it again. Okay? Have a good time in the Lord tonight. Let's stand together. Miss Jenna, pray a blessing over our food and our fellowship, and I'll appreciate that.